Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music wherever you get your podcasts.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have my very good friend Roberto with me. He has this new YouTube channel. He's going to talk to you about that in a few minutes. We're going to be breaking down the state of comic book movies, also a little bit of movie news that came out during the week. And so let's go ahead, let's talk to Roberto, let's go ahead and talk about the state of comic book movies. I'm excited to have him back over here, and everything has been way too long, so let's do it. Hey, oh, man.
Hey, it definitely has been too long.
Sorry about that. I always press the buttons when someone's getting ready to talk to me and I don't realize it, so I apologize for pressing the button a little early.
I'm new on this, so.
It's okay. It's alright. What are you talking about? It's only been, what, 67 years since the last time we've done something?
I know, and I left after Justice League. That Whedon cut, man.
Right?
Oh, gosh. And it's only gotten worse, I think.
I think it might get better, though. We'll talk a little bit about that.
I'm hoping.
Fingers and toes crossed.
You know.
But, yeah, first off, I just want to mention this. I am sponsored by Fanatics. If you guys want to, go in and get guys some sports stuff over there at Fanatics. Get yourself a nice hoodie. I'm also sponsored by the WWE store over there, too. So go ahead, get some shopping done. Treat yourself, even though your wallet's probably telling you no. But go ahead, do whatever I tell you to do, because it's the best sports store that you can actually get your stuff from. So, my question for you though, Roberto, is this.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you doing on your channel? What's new with your channel? And,
sure.
I'm excited to hear about this.
So I actually have had a few people that have told me you need to get back into it. I used to be Movie Critic Rob. So I was like, I want to do something a little bit more, I guess, low key, meaning like I wanted to be a place where people can come and chill and talk about a bunch of stuff. Like we talked about movies, talk about music. I'm actually working with another friend of mine and we're actually going to be putting out a CD hopefully soon, of music. And I also talk about Bible on my channel as well. So it's a kind of a good mix of topics. I'm actually right now in the middle of editing a video, which I'm hoping will be out tomorrow. Fingers crossed, about a brand new Marvel show that you may or may not have watched. So, I'm excited. And I think that now, you know, with everyone that I've watched, I watch a lot of different YouTubers, you and, like Tyrone Magnus and Starkey J. I'm like, I need to get back into this because there's a lot to talk about nowadays.
There is. There's a lot of stuff going around and floating around the internet nowadays too. And it's a lot bigger than what you and I've done in the past.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing how things have changed and evolved over the years, right?
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, now with, like, the technology, you can do a lot of stuff for free and, you know, like actually look like a good channel, which is what I struggled with in the past. You know, I used to do it on, my little camera and it was just terrible. It was terrible looking back at those videos. So now
I'm really like Google Hangout days.
I know. So now, you know, we can actually do like high quality videos. I shoot in 4K now just with my phone. And I like it. Like if I feel like I'm more professional now. So
awesome. So let's go on ahead. Let's get into this. So when here's the thing. I stumbled across this yesterday, I believe, with Anthony Mackie, which I call Clarence from 8 Mile. He was stating a bunch of stuff about Captain America and what Captain America means to him and stuff. So let's go on ahead. We're going to talk and I'm going to give a little bit more context about it.
Yeah.
So this is by the Hollywood Reporter. And so basically when he was over in Rome, they asked him, what does Captain America mean to him? So, you know, Anthony Mackie winds up saying to me, Captain America represents a lot of things. And I don't think the term America should be one of the representations, Mackie said, while on stage in Rome to promote Disney's upcoming Captain America Brave New World. The 1 minute clip of the interview was filmed and posted by several attendees online. Yeah. It's about a man who keeps his word, who has honor, dignity, integrity. Mackie continued, someone who is trustworthy and dependable. But Mackie's comments online didn't reveal the exact question the actor was answering, and the Hollywood Reporter reached out to Marvel and Mackie for further clarification. Marvel's Italian social media account posted clips of the actor's interview, but cut the sentence about the superhero not representing America. The edited versions for Captain America represents a lot of different things, someone who is trustworthy and dependable. So my thing is this, and here's the thing, guys. I'm not a political show or anything like that, but when it bleeds into movie news and stuff like that, I feel like I have to address certain things within the context of a movie news show. So with that being said, I am going to give you my thoughts, my honest thoughts, and Roberto and Mar thoughts might be a little different, yeah. And we might – but we're still going to be friends at the end of the day. We're not going to be slugging it out like Captain America and Iron Man. So we just want to put that on the table here. But my thought process is this. You're there to promote a movie. This movie's also not tracking that well to begin with. And my first thought was, number one, you have an $180 million supposed budget, which I think is BS on that part. I think it's about a $200, $250 million budget. They're just finagling the things around, especially when you have two reshoots that they've done in the past. That's going to rack up your budget even more, even though it's already budgeted in. But here's the thing. I think that, you know, he's talking about the characteristics of who Captain America is to him versus it being about America, because the America that he represents in the movie world is completely different than what we represent in America over here. So it's fiction. It's not nonfiction. So if he happened to say, well, he didn't say, I feel like this. I don't feel like he said anything that was part of our world of what America represents. I feel like it was part of the context of the fact of the characteristics of who Captain America is and who he represents to him. And even though he's a one out of a million people that may Captain America represents something, there's other people that also thinks Captain America in another way as well of those characteristics, if not something else. So I think it's very subjective opinion versus objective opinion of who the thing is about Captain America. But when you say something like this and you're trying to promote your movie and trying to do this is not from Marvel at all.
Yeah. I definitely felt like when he answered and then he kind of knew what he did. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the clip, he seems to want to pivot, but he doesn't know how to do it. And instead of just saying, hey, I misspoke, he tries to cover it up. And like, it was just odd. You know, you can tell like he didn't mean to say it that way. I hope he didn't. And it really, like I said, it seems like he was trying to backtrack, but he couldn't really figure out how to stick the landing.
I feel like at that point in time with that, I feel like his handlers or his publicist should have had something in his ears like Mackie. X and Nene that stops doing what you're doing, you know, Because, like I said, nobody's really that excited for this movie. Everybody's more excited about Thunderbolts at this point in and everything, too. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see someone of color playing Captain America. I think it's great to actually have representation of a character for other people to actually represent who they are so that they can emulate that passion that they see on screen, just like we got with Black Panther. But, you know, I just think that the timing of him saying this is bad. That's just my opinion. He didn't say anything really negatively or anything like that. He didn't say, like, F the president or anything like that. Yeah. He just said what something represents to him.
I think that the pivot to Mackie as Captain America in Endgame, I thought actually it made sense in context, because if you remember in First Avenger, what made Steve such a great Captain America was that he was not a perfect soldier, but a good man. That was actually a quote from First Avenger. So that was actually the reason why Bucky didn't get it, but Falcon did, which I thought, perfect. Makes sense in the story. But then Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you know, they politicized a lot of it, and it really seemed like, well, it was a good story point, but again, you don't stick the landing right, and it seems like, well, this is just here because they want to put the whole inclusion thing in everything and force it instead of it being about the story, which there was a good story there. They just didn't tell it right. So they've set up this new Captain America, which I thought, again, he had a really good opportunity to do awesome. And what they've given him so far is not good. And then you hear about all these reshoots on his movie, and honestly, I think your figures are a little bit conservative, because I've heard that they have to make like a billion, even like the break even.
Right. That's what I'm trying to tell you with the numbers for the budget itself. If you think about it, 180 million, I call it BS. That has to be at least a $250 million budget, especially with two reshoots. And I just want to mention this, and I'll talk to Studio Terrible's Random Videos in a minute for his comment, but you know, Disney Marvel's Captain has a hit 3 weekend. Let's see here, tracking with a number that's similar to what we saw recently, that being 95 million plus over 4 days, and that's not good when you look at the budget, because tickets went on sale Monday, and we hear that it's currently pacing 15% behind Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which opened at 118.4 million. There's also above Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, which is 94.6 million for 4 days, in addition to Black Adam, which is 67 million, and The Flash, 55 million. So this thing is also not tracking that well, if you think about it.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you're introducing a brand new captain, so you have to, I think that they kind of miscalculated a lot. Not only that, you're releasing it on Valentine's Day. What are you doing? Like,
they're trying to make this like Deadpool. They're like, well, Deadpool.
Well, but at least Deadpool actually made sense because they pitched it as a romance. Right. This is a Captain America movie, and it's not really trying to be anything else. So the release date, I thought, was a big misfire. They should have released it probably a week before Valentine's Day. You know, probably say, hey, ladies, take your guy out to this. That way he'll treat you well on Valentine's Day. That would have been a great pitch. But I feel like the release date is not good. I feel like they, with all the reshoots and everything, they are wanting this to make Endgame money. And it's basically another First Avenger. And, I mean, that movie did well for its time, but it's not going to pull the money they need. And, I think they're going to lose probably more money than the Marvels.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose money with this, to be honest with you, that you, like you mentioned. It's been a long time since we've seen the very beginning of the Avenger itself, where Cap was actually the first Avenger. You also talked about the release date as well. And Winter Soldier had a release date in April.
Yeah.
So if they would have pushed it to April to have it for that perfect summer slot, that would have been a lot better and it would have worked. And they could have even done like a trailer, bring your man to the movie theater to see Captain America. It would have been perfect.
Right.
But this is just forced PR to me. And it doesn't make any sense with the marketing behind it.
Well, it made sense because of the February being, you know, Black History Month. I get that
part. I get that part.
But any other weekend.
Right.
Let's see here. Any other weekend would have been good.
So I want to get into some of the studio terribles, random videos, stuff. The state of comic book movies, Krypton has exploded 5 times in 10 years equals 10 actors reboots. So maybe time to explore other characters. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get into all that in a few minutes. TA said the magic of comic book movies has faded, I think, due to COVID and some shift with going to movies. I hardly get excited much. Okay, I'll talk about that in a few minutes as well, because you bring up some good points with that, too. Yeah. Let's see, terrible studio terribles, random videos. There's a fatigue of superheroes because it's the same story 1,000 times with a different character. Well, different actors playing characters.
I haven't thought about that. I haven't thought about that, and we can unpack that later, but I haven't
thought about
that.
Yeah, I would love to unpack all this. This is pretty good stuff that he's mentioning. Think if you watch 25 Bond movies back-to-back, James Bond shows up and saves the day. If you think about Casino Royale, though, he doesn't really, if you think about it, that's actually a sad movie, depending on what Bond you're talking about with Daniel Craig. But now we've had 10 Marvel movies per year, superhero shows up and saves the day. But if you think about it like this, and I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate with you, Studio Terrell. If you think about the Batman movie, Batman lost.
Yeah.
He had the bombs blew up and the Batman. People lost their lives. Look at the Penguin series. That actually captures something different within that layer that you're talking about. But yeah, I do understand where you're coming from, because I'm just talking about one movie versus several other movies, which is totally understandable of where you're coming from. But yeah, let's go ahead. Let's just unpack what I wanted to talk about though too. So we had a lot of bombs lately. Here's the thing. Marvel has been on a roll before, with hitting home run after home run. And after they killed off all their main stars, Robert Downey Jr. dies. Then you had Cap that went back in time to stay back in time. Then you're trying to rebuild your franchise without those heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And now it's hard to actually figure out what they want to do. You don't have anything really cohesive to have. And then I didn't even like Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
No.
I didn't like that one. I didn't like Ant-Man. Well, I didn't like the last Ant-Man either.
Yeah, Quantumania was just not good.
No, it wasn't. And even the TV shows itself, I feel like this, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like they need to go back to the drawing board on what made them who they are, which is stop doing TV shows and start making movies again. Even though I'm excited for Daredevil, Born Again, and that should be a show itself, because I'm actually binging the first 2 seasons all over again with my wife, and we're loving it. And I'm rewatching those, but I feel like, even though this feels like cinematic stuff, but still, I feel like they need to go back to what made them who they are. And stop focusing on a smaller screen scale when you don't have to do a smaller screen scale, when in fact the MCU is also a larger scale if you think about it.
Yeah. Not only that, but you're losing money because you're putting the same quality, supposedly, in the shows, which run for several episodes. You're wanting the same quality, so that's more money than you would spend on a 2-hour movie, because you're extending that for 6 hours, maybe 8 hours. Daredevil is kind of the dark horse in this, because he started on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And because he is a character that doesn't have superpowers technically, meaning, you know, he's a fighter, he's a martial artist, it makes sense to have him on TV. But some of these shows that they put out, like She-Hulk, for instance, you should have put her in a movie. Because the budget that character requires is a movie size budget, not a TV size budget. And I honestly felt like that last episode, especially, was just an excuse to not have a big bombastic Marvel third act, because they didn't have the money for it. And so you're in a position where Marvel has wanted to make so much that they're running out of money at the last minute. And they're like, oh, well, we can't shoot that. So let's just do another third act and be subversive, and it robs people. So people are like, okay, well, we don't want to tune in anymore, because we've already seen this, you know, dog and pony show several times, and we don't like it.
And I didn't like She-Hulk. I like aspects of She-Hulk. I like certain things within the show itself. Anything revolving the lawyer aspect of it, I really enjoyed. and stuff like that. Seeing the whole entire mutant aspect of the attorney at law stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But as far as the show as an entirety and knowing that it was just, especially when you had like that last act of them peeling back the curtain, I did not like it.
Yeah.
It took me out of the show.
Of the shows that they've released, I don't like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I thought that was a misfire. Other than the only thing I liked about that show was Bucky's journey in that show and having him actually be cured of, you know, the brainwashing.
Right.
That was powerful. The rest of it, I could care less. The one show that I have a soft spot for, just because I love this character so much, is Moon Knight.
I love Moon Knight.
That was handled really well because you have Oscar Isaac that man can do everything.
Right. And, I love that. That show was awesome.
Yeah. And you surrounded him with good characters. It was a pretty good story. Again, he could have benefited from a movie budget, but because he's more of a fighter, I could kind of see the justification. So I like the show for what it was. I really hope we get a season two or we see him somewhere else because that character needs to be on display more. But what was another show? WandaVision I thought was fine.
Yeah, that was fine. That was a fun show.
And it actually, like, there was a point to the show, which was, you know, she's grieving and she's lost everything. And so she's, you know, having to make this reality for herself. I thought, okay, makes sense. But a lot of these other shows, they're just like, you can tell they didn't have a good story. They're just like, well, we have this character that we haven't done anything with in a while or, we want to introduce. So let's just put him out on Disney Plus, and it's like, you may need a bigger budget for that.
Right. I feel the same way though that you do though. I mean, I liked, the political stuff within Captain America, the Winter Soldier, you know what I'm talking about, that show on Disney Plus. I did like that one because of the political aspect to it. It had that kind of Tom Clancy kind of vibe to it, which is something I dug a lot. I liked WandaVision. I liked Moon Knight because I'm a huge history nerd when it comes down to Egyptian mythology and things like that. Yeah. So I was actually eating all that up. But yeah, everything else has been misfires. And we're also wondering, where's the continuity within its own self? How does this link up with the MCU? What's the next phase? How does this go into the next phase? When it doesn't even lead up into anything, they're just throwing darts at something and hoping for it to stick.
Yeah. The whole multiversal concept has ruined the MCU because I think the reason why the MCU has been so successful before 2020 is you had a very clear end goal, which was, we're going to get Thanos, we're going to get the Infinity Stones, and every movie, even though maybe not every movie addressed that, it was built in enough to the story where it was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. I don't know where we're going. I mean, now we do because we know we're getting Doom, but for like 5 years, we didn't know. And honestly, when they had Kang just go out like he did to Ant-Man, it's like, okay, so this is supposed to be the Avengers level threat. And then
they could always say, well, the reason why he lost against Ant-Man was because he's a variant. He's not weak writing.
Right, exactly. It's just lazy writing because it's like, okay, so you have these variants and it's going to be a never-ending cycle of variants just trotted out to what? Just fight the Avengers and get killed and, oh, he's back, you know.
Exactly.
But Thanos, like, the build-up, and I think I actually was excited for Kang. Because I know Kang from the comic. I'm like, this is a guy that could actually be cool because of the multiversal aspect. And then every time he's on screen, he loses. He lost in Loki. He lost in Ant-Man. And it's like, okay, but that's not the way you build up a villain.
No.
And if you look at Thanos by comparison, everybody would talk about him in hushed tones and like, you know, when you saw him the first time in Guardians going up against Ronan, it was like, oh, this is the most powerful being in the universe. They hyped him up really well. So that way when we got to Infinity War, it felt earned.
Right.
And then, you know, everything that happened with Jonathan Majors and them having to pivot away, which I think they should have recast it anyway. And just kept the course because they could have done something that would have saved the character, but then they just, you know, did what they did.
Which, right.
That's another thing.
So, okay. So my thing is this. I feel like they're trying to do the greatest hits when you think about it. Because anybody could play Doom. I would love to see Henry Cavill as Doom. Or, you know, I would love to see somebody else be Doom and to have, don't get me wrong, I love seeing RDJ back. Yeah. But at the same time, though, we've already seen this. It's the same beat. It's like, okay, well, what's not working? Well, we don't have RDJ. Well, let's cast him as a different character. Then we can get people that loved everything from the first phases, a couple of phases, back into the theater.
Yeah.
From a, I can understand from a studio's perspective of like, okay, let's do our greatest hits. Who do we have? Well, we got RDJ. Okay, check. Well, let's get the Russo brothers to direct another movie. Yeah. Okay, because their other movies are bombing and stuff like that. They're not doing good for their streaming service or anything, in case anybody doesn't even realize that or anything. Their movies have sucked since they left the MCU. So therefore, hey, Russos, what are you doing? Oh, nothing much. Our stuff's in the can. What do you have? Oh, we have Fantastic Four. Oh, I don't know if that's actually what they're directing or anything, but I'm just being sarcastic. But yeah, let's go in here. Let's do this. We'll take you up for the other Avengers movies.
I heard too that after Secret Wars, they're going to keep them to do the X-Men now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the Deadpool saying actually came true for them as well as Hugh Jackman. Till they're 90. They're going to be doing it till they're 90. Because that, and after phase three, and I think that one of the comments that you were reading earlier talked about superhero fatigue. It's not about superhero fatigue. It's good story fatigue. You got RDJ's Iron Man because you built a good story around Iron Man. And then we fell in love with the character and we bought into his arc. We bought into his story. Same with Captain America. I mean, there was no character that we didn't like for 10 years.
Right.
The Guardians of the Galaxy that were considered to be like D-level heroes and everybody thought that movie was going to be Marvel's first bomb. What did James Gunn do? He gave them a good story with a good script. And guess what? They are household names now, more popular than Superman and Batman.
Right.
Like, all it takes is a good story. It doesn't matter. Like, and then that's what they're lacking. And I think a lot of it is they're trying to push things instead of making good stories. And they're suffering. They've been suffering for 5 years.
Right. I definitely agree with you on that, man. Like, I was like, oh, maybe a superhero. No, it's storytelling. If you have a good story, good actors that loves and has the same passion that we do for these characters, it's going to work. If you don't have someone that cares about these characters or anything, it's going to tank. And if you have weak writing, it's going to tank.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And I'll let you go on ahead.
There are three movies. There are three movies that have come out in the last 5 years that I thought were actually really strong that a lot of people don't talk about. Shang-Chi was a really good movie, strong story, fantastic. Like, I bought into the character. I actually want to see him again.
I loved it.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, I thought was actually a really good story that actually it made sense why Shuri took the mantle. And I loved kind of the push and pull of like, is she going to be vengeful? Mm-hmm. That was a fantastic story. And then, Guardians 3, but you know, again, we've already bought into the Guardians, but they actually crafted good stories for those three movies I thought were really good. And those were the ones that performed really well. And then obviously Spider-Man No Way Home, but you know, you had the cameos and all that and Deadpool.
Right.
But other than that, like those that didn't have the cameo fest, those three movies, I thought they had good stories and they did really well. If only they just would do that over and over and over again.
Right. Studio Terrible's Random Videos also says, yes, Iron Man, Cap America, Captain America gone, but Fantastic Four, X-Men need a visionary producer. They are big hitters. Yes, they are. And I think we are going to get that. It's just going to take some time to be able to get the people that they want.
Yeah.
But yeah, they need to be fleshed out a lot better than what we've gotten in the past with the X-Men. The only ones that I have to say that has good character arcs would probably be, of course, Logan. Yeah. That's number one, of course. You also have, who else had a good story? Rogue had a good story arc and stuff. But I mean, you didn't really have a lot of.
Yeah.
No, that's it. That's it. It started off at Rogue and Wolverine and that was it.
Yeah.
It started and ended where they were.
They need to, I think, the way they can set themselves apart from the Fox X-Men, mm-hmm. I think, is to have Cyclops be a good character, because he's the leader of the X-Men, you know, in most comics, and they sidelined him, which I get for Hugh Jackman's Logan in the Fox movies. They really need to cast somebody and give him like a lead role in the X-Men team. And I feel like that could be a good way to set themselves apart from what came before.
I agree. And, you know, this is also something else that Studio Terrible said. As much as he loves Snipes as Blade, he's sort of old. Get another actor, lots of potential. Okay, here's the thing with this. And I already have an idea. If Marvel wants to shout me out or give me some money for this, I would appreciate this. But you can actually have Wesley Snipes in this, but not as him as Blade. The perfect way for him to pass the torch is to be a Wesler to this new Blade.
Yeah.
And be like, hey kid, I want to train you in the way I know how to do things.
Yeah.
And let him carry let the new person playing Blade carry the mantle from the old regime into the new regime. And it goes well together. And that's how you have Wesley Snipes in there without him having to do any action sequences or that much action sequences. It all relies on that one actor to do it. And I think that's the perfect way to go about it versus him being in the movie, even though I would love to see him as that. And I love seeing him as the cameo in Deadpool and Wolverine, which is fantastic. I geeked out over. But at the same time, though, it's like an SNL skit in a sense of seeing your old people back again.
Fall in love with low prices, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on delicious 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's what I got out of it.
That's kind of the double-edged sword of the multiverse, you know, where you have these great characters that had their great stories, but you don't really give them anything new. You just kind of, hey, they're here, you know, be happy.
Right.
Which I think that was one thing that No Way Home did well, especially with Andrew Garfield, is they actually gave him a conclusion, because mm-hmm. Sony never gave him a conclusion. They kind of just dropped him in, you know, in the middle of his second act. Never actually gave him a third film to close off, you know, what they left open. So No Way Home actually did good for him and gave him more of a story versus just, oh, I'm here. Everybody clap, you know, everybody cheer right. because I'm here. So, but yeah, Deadpool did it. And again, I get why they did it and it made sense. It was actually a good way to, you know, say goodbye to Fox.
Literally. Right, exactly. X-Men Fox out and focus on other things.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Let's see here. I'll get it. Hey, Alex, how are you doing? My good friend Alex from Haynes for Heroes. Thank you. Thank you for coming in here. But, no, Studio Terrible also said that I find the Punisher has never been done properly. I think that John Bernthal embodies, as a matter of fact, I think he embodies the Punisher.
Yeah.
He is hands down my favorite character in Marvel. I love what they did with the Netflix series and stuff. Let me put him back so that way I don't knock over Edward Scissorhands again. But no, like I said, I think he's a perfect choice. I love the writing with this, with the Punisher. I think that they've done a really good job. Thomas Jane was my Punisher up until John Bernthal came in and destroyed and wrecked my dreams. And I really loved what they did with it. And I hope that they put him onto the big screen for this.
Yeah.
For something big. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I love the Punisher, and especially with what John Bernthal did with him, in the show. I thought that I loved him in it. Honestly, like, the Netflix shows, I think only had one character that I didn't buy, and I think you know who I'm talking about. He has an iron fist. And again, I feel like he could have been good, but his show, like, really was the worst of the bunch. But I thought everybody else, I would love to see them transition. Like Jessica Jones, I would love to see transition into the movies. Punisher.
Luke Cage was
amazing. So
I just didn't like how they did the ending for the first season. I felt like it was rushed, but I do like him as, I like the actor as Luke Cage.
Yeah. And the Defenders I thought was okay. The story was okay, but I mean,
it could have been better.
It wasn't bad.
But you know what though, man? Like, here's, and we'll move on to DC in a few minutes. But you know, I just feel like this with rated R characters such as Daredevil, the Punisher, Ghost Rider, all those characters could actually be part of another Marvel Studios thing. They can call it Marvel Night Studios.
Yeah.
And let that be your umbrella for the R-rated characters. Yes, they can revisit the PG-13 characters as the as their nemesis or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Like, basically, Matt Murdock visits over to the PG-13 realm, like we did with Far From Home and stuff. So I think that would actually work if they did something like that. But, yeah, have your characters under one umbrella underneath Marvel Knights, and it's perfect. You have your R-rated characters, you have your PG-13 characters, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, I mean, especially now that Deadpool's kind of in the MCU, and we've proven, okay, it works, and he can be in it, he can be himself. Okay, we gotta have these other characters be themselves too, you know, and not just live in PG-13 land.
Right. Let's see here. Haynes for Heroes says, Wesley Snipes will always have a place in my heart, but we need a new young actor for Blade. I agree.
So not Mahershala Ali, that's as old as Wesley Snipes at this point.
Well, get this. He's going to be about 100 years old by the time they decide, hey, Marshall, guess what? We want you for this role. Really?
Poor man. That poor man's been sitting for 10 years. I'm going to be Blade, guys.
Any minute now, I'm going to get this call. Oh, you know that skeleton meme where it's like he's sitting on the bench? That's Marshall. That's Mahershala Ali waiting for that call.
And it's sad because he's actually a really good actor. He was actually Cottonmouth in Luke Cage.
Right.
I thought that was funny because I'm like, okay, well, how are they going to explain that? But, you know, okay, he was a minor character enough.
Right.
But he's a great actor, and they keep, like, you've seen the commercial of the fisherman, like, you almost got it. That's what they've been doing to this man, and it's terrible because they've like even paraded him out on like Comic Cons and stuff, and like, okay, this is the next Blade coming 2030 at this point, or not coming at all because they removed it from the slate. So it's like, okay, when is it actually going to happen?
Exactly. Let's see here. You mentioned Thanos storyline was good. Okay, let's see here. Studio Terrible's random videos. Thanos storyline was good, and you say nothing was happening now Doom. There's also Secret Wars that could spawn over several franchises. Yeah, I think that you need to keep Doom alive. They don't need to kill him off because he plays a pivotal role in everything you're trying to do within this own phase. And I think to kill him off again to have RDJ get killed off again would be a waste of utilization to him and also to the character himself. Because why are you going to sign this guy off and then just kill him again? And then guess what? Now you're having to play darts again and see if anything sticks to the thing again. So
my dream cast for Doom though, and they've already used him in the MCU, which I thought was kind of like he was wasted in the MCU. We talked about Casino Royale earlier. Mads Mikkelsen. That was my perfect Doctor Doom. I still want him. Like, I want some multiversal version of him to come out and like kill RDJ's Doctor Doom and have him be like the real one. Cause that for me was like perfect casting for Doctor Doom. And I'm like, okay with RDJ, but you know, get somebody else, like you said.
Right. But I also wouldn't mind like Javier Bardem to play Doctor Doom either.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Right? Because I think that you need somebody that has the tallness to him, has that type of physique of a billionaire look.
And he has a Spanish accent, which lends to Doom a little bit. I know it's more Russian, you know, Latveria is more Russian, but still, it's like somebody with an accent, so it's like, okay, it would sound interesting, because that's his natural speaking voice. So, but I never thought about him as Dr. Doom. That'd be cool.
So now let's move over to DC, which I know, there's a couple of questionable things that I reviewed that I will go back and look at my thing from 4 or 5 years ago. Like, I shouldn't have rated that high because, you know, I think it was the fact that I was so excited and pumped to see something and then for the first time. And I was like, well, I needed to put that down on the small scale.
But, well, no, I left YouTube because I rated the Whedon cut really high, and then I regretted my life decision and left YouTube in shame. But yeah, no, they've been a constant misfire, more than Marvel.
True, but here's the thing though. Now they don't have to worry about playing catch up anymore. Now that Marvel is fumbling the ball, now it's their time to grow.
Yeah.
And do things. And all that other stuff was reactionary. I always call Warner Brothers the minions of the DC universe because of the fact that they're always reactionary. Oh, guess what?
Yeah.
Everybody loved Harley Quinn. Let's make her have a Birds of Prey movie. Okay, let's do that. It was like very reactionary for everything that you had coming out. Even with the other regime before James Gunn came down too, they did Joker 2, Follow You at Doo Doo.
I haven't seen that. I still haven't seen that.
I've seen it on Max. That's the only way that I was going to watch it. But that was bad. But
and the original Joker was so good too.
Yeah, I love the original Joker because of the mental illness, stuff like that. They put so much together on that to the point where it was really good. It had this vibe of anyone can snap at any given moment type of thing. Like a Falling Down meets Taxi Driver kind of vibe.
Okay.
And that's what I loved about it. And also it was doing mental health as well. Yeah. This one I was thinking, okay, well, maybe they'll go in the psychological realm of mental health with maybe someone singing out loud to help with and cope with something, because music can actually have a way of actually coping with something that's in your head. But no, it is just music for the sake of having music. It does not do anything.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I just didn't like Joker 2, Folia Doo Doo. But that's what I'm calling it. But here's the thing. I cannot fault this new regime for putting that out there because they needed something to be put out there. And this was also approved before Zoloff came in.
Yeah.
So that was approved before then. So therefore, they had to put something out. And then, of course, they had to cut certain projects and stuff like that. But
yeah, but what about Batgirl?
That they should have kept. I'm gonna say that. I would love to see what they have done with Batgirl.
That's the thing. Like, they put out Joker, Folia Do, but they robbed us of Brendan Fraser in Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
As Firefly. Like,
well, I think here's the thing. I think they were looking at the fact that Joker 1 made over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And also got an Academy Award nom. As
true.
Well.
True.
So they were like, okay, you did it once with Joker 1. So let's see if we can do it again with Joker 2.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It feels.
No. And I, like I said, I haven't seen it, but everything I've seen around the movie and even like the trailers, I'm like, this looks like a misfire yet again. But yeah, I haven't watched it.
That's also an Elseworld movie though too. So that's also another thing too. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it doesn't belong in the DC universe that James Gunn is doing.
Yeah.
So, and I believe in James Gunn because here's the thing. If you remember, and you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy earlier, he came in at the time that Feige was trying to build this Marvel stuff up. Just as James Gunn is now trying to build up the DC universe. So therefore he's learning from Kevin.
Yeah.
All the stuff that he had to do and he's interpolating it into something with DC universe. The DC studios. So that's something that I have to applaud him for doing something like that. And he knows that this is going to be a big shoes to fill, especially after Henry Cavill and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm excited for this new Superman movie. We finally have a Superman actually saving people. We have him looking up and not down or anything like that because you look up for hope. You look down if you're depressed. That's the way I look at it. But
that's true.
What do you think?
No, I I don't know. Like when I wanted to like the trailer for Superman. I think it's overcrowded for Superman. Again, I know that this is a Superman that's coming into a world that already has superheroes, so maybe it'll work. It just, and I think that also the designs looked a little cheap, and I'm not even talking about his costume, which that's a whole other story. But like even the way that the makeup looked, and again, I know it's a trailer, I know that effects aren't finished and things aren't finished, but it's supposed to be representative of your finished product because you're using it to sell the finished product. And I can't get over Nathan Fillion's whole getup. I can't, like, that looks horrific. Him as Guy Gardner, looks terrible. And I know that's the look from the comics, but sometimes it doesn't transfer right. That's why you do an adaptation. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about Superman because I feel like James Gunn does team up movies really well, not solo movies really well.
I getcha.
So I think that he kind of tried to, he's trying to make Superman into a team up movie because you have all these other like hot girls in it, I guess. And, Mr. Terrific's in it, I think, and a few others. So he's trying to make it into what he knows how to do, but that's not Superman. Like he's his own thing. You know, he's, you know, he's Superman. So I don't know. I really don't know.
See, for me, I think that it needs to be Superman's movie, but I think he's just showing, hey, look, there's other characters within this DC universe. I'm just trying to flex out those characters to show you what we have and what we have in store for you. But this is going to be Superman's solo project. I'm just showing you that this universe is bigger than what you think it is.
Yeah. And again, that's why I'm saying that maybe the characters that I'm seeing, maybe a lot of them are just like cameos, like, hey, you know, they're here in the universe already and this person's here and this person's here. And I could, okay, that'd be fine. But you know, just because this is the very first movie in a brand new thing, I know they had Creature Commandos. I don't know. It just seems like, okay, we're doing the Suicide Squad all over again, where you're introducing too many things at once, and it's, or, the Batman v Superman, where you're trying to do too many things at once and do heavy lifting, which they failed already at once. So
unintended.
It's like,
yeah. But
yeah, honestly, gone of nothing.
Okay. So I want to talk about this though, too. Because he also had hits like Peacemaker, which he does really good on. With, like you said, with team-ups, he does really good, really well with. Come on, you had John Cena that actually built that character from nothing and made it its own thing. It's great.
That was amazing. I love Peacemaker.
But, and another thing too is, let's talk about the fact that now, and I know that Studio Terrible's Random Video said that he wanted other characters. We're finally getting Clayface in a Batman movie.
Yeah, maybe.
And everybody's like, well, I don't know what they're going to do with the Robert Pattinson version. Is it still going to be? I was like, well, why don't they just put it into the DC Universe one and then be done with it? No, because here's the thing. Robert Pattinson's is basically, if you think about it, Christian Bale's Batman in a sense with realism.
Yeah.
Matt Reeves built that world without anything that was comic book related. Or anything like that. It was more of a realistic turn for Batman. Yeah. But this one, it needs to be a separate universe away from that to be like that, because otherwise you're not going to have a team up with Superman. You're not going to have any of this other stuff. The tone of it doesn't even feel like it would belong into that kind of world that James Gunn is building.
Yeah. Well, didn't we have a tease of like the actual James Gunn's universe Superman, or sorry, his Batman in, remember there was like a, I don't know if you saw it, there was like a clip from some show, I think maybe Creature Commandos.
I didn't get a chance to watch all of that.
There's like, it circulated online. It was like a 5 second clip of, Batman. It's like a silhouette. He looked beefy. He looked like Ben Affleck Superman, like, you know, really buffed up. So everybody was wondering, okay, who are they going to get to play him? Cause he looks like, you know, a really buffed up Superman or Batman. And it definitely didn't look like Robert Pattinson at all.
No. And I think that you can still have Robert Pattinson in there. I love Robert Pattinson. I wouldn't mind seeing him again as Batman. Just have it as like an Elseworld Batman living in his own thing. But, you know, I'm actually excited about Clayface being in this thing because I've been saying we need Clayface. Forget about the Joker for a while.
Yeah.
Let's focus on other characters. And I even agree with Studio Terrible. We need new villains so that way we can, we need new villains just as much as we need new superheroes. We need new villains. Forget about the Penguin. Forget about Catwoman. Forget about, all those. Give me Mad Hatter. Give me, Man Bat.
Professor Pig.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at like just the Arkham games, all the characters that they were able to bring into that, they have, I mean, if you look at Rogues Galleries, other than Spider-Man, Batman has the most amazing and really extensive Rogues Gallery. And it's like, okay, you're pulling Joker for the fifth time with that tease at the end, which again, that's fine. And even the clip that came out online afterwards, I'm like, okay. I mean, it looks like it's like Heath Ledger, but like on more severe drugs. but it was just odd. And it's like, he has such a good Rogues Gallery, like you said, Man Bat, Professor Pig, that you don't need to do.
Even Mr. Freeze. I wouldn't mind seeing a different version of Dr. Freeze, Mr. Freeze.
I think that Riddler actually worked well because the last version of Riddler that we got in the movies was Jim Carrey's, which worked for that movie. I actually enjoyed him. This was much more grounded, more realistic. I would love, Mr. Freeze to be in, especially because if Gotham's flooded, it would be kind of cool to have him, you know, ice it all over and take over Gotham. I thought, okay, that would actually make sense in the story too. And it would redeem the Iceman Cometh.
Everybody, freeze.
Yeah.
you know what destroyed the Ice Age?
The fun test that was Batman and Robin. So I think just like with Riddler, you have a character that we haven't seen really almost at all for a long time that can be redeemed, and done in a more gritty, realistic way. I love, and I, you know, I referenced it a minute ago, the Arkham games. The Arkham game, Mr. Freeze, was incredible. I mean, the whole series was incredible. I actually played through Arkham Knight not too long ago again.
I love that. I love the whole entire series.
They're so good. I really want Arkham Origins to come out on PS5 so I can play it because it's not. they need to remaster that because that one had the best Rogues Gallery too. It had Slade Wilson and Copperhead and all the different assassins like Bane.
And that's another thing too. I want Deathstroke in this. I want... Let's see who else. And here's the thing. I'm excited about Lobo too. I'm actually excited about Jason Momoa as Lobo. Yeah. I'm excited about that. But I do agree that with you, everything else that you have said, though, I wouldn't, and I also love the Batman Arkham games though too. And I would love to see Calendar Man or something, something different. And then of course, Paul Dano as the Riddler. Come on. You had like a Saw. Means Batman kind of vibe to it, which is something that I've been wanting. And this is like the Batman Rebirth comics in a sense, with a year one kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. I'm excited for Jason Momoa's Lobo. Actually, when he got cast as Aquaman, I was like, this man is born to play Lobo. Like, he is. He's born to play Lobo. He looks like Lobo, just normal, walking down the street. So I'm glad that some common sense was had there and cast him as Lobo because he really was born to play that character.
Yes, because I even said it. I loved him as Aquaman, and I even said this on my movie news thing on my channel. And I, whenever I first heard about the casting rumor of last year, I'm like, this makes sense for him to be Lobo. Yeah. He embodies Lobo. He knows who Lobo is. He's a drunkard. He's someone that's more powerful than Superman. The only way to kill him is to throw him into the sun. Yeah. This is something that you need.
Yeah. And I'm excited for Supergirl too. I like the actress that they have playing Supergirl, from, House of the Dragon.
Yep.
I can't remember. Millie Alcock, I think is her name.
Yeah, that's it. That's
right. I think she was amazing in House of the Dragon. Honestly, I feel like when they aged her up, she kind of lost her bite a little bit. The other actress, like, she couldn't match the energy that, that she brought to it. And I know, you know, it was the story had sense of why they did it that way. But like, she had so much personality and I was like, she needs to be in more movies. Like, honestly, I would have loved to see her in maybe something with Tom Holland in the Spider-Man side of the world. You know, maybe a character there. I don't know. Cause she was really good. And I thought she needs to be in more movies. So I'm excited about seeing her as Supergirl and what she could bring to that.
For sure. I'm excited for Supergirl. I'm excited to see how Lobo ties in with Supergirl.
Yeah.
As well. I think it's gonna be funny to see how they tie in together. I'm excited for it. But yeah, I think that's everything that we wanted to cover as far as the state of comic book movies and boom or bust. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we, well, as much as you can cover everything. But no, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic, going forward. I think there's some projects that if they're handled well and if they're given a good story, like I said at the beginning, we could go back to the golden age that we had for 10 years, you know? And honestly, I feel like even the misfires from DC, like for instance, I know Batman v Superman, a lot of people didn't like the theatrical cut. Warner Brothers should have just given Zack Snyder final cut because he knows what he's doing and right. He's proven that. And I'm glad that we got to see, which is one thing that I didn't cover when it came out because I wasn't on YouTube, but the fact that we got to see a Snyder cut. And I honestly feel like DC should do kind of like how they're doing with Batman. Give Zack Snyder a little money, let him do his vision, let him finish it. And it can be like an Elseworld story too. I mean, there's right. A lot of room. There's a lot of money to be had. If you broaden yourself out a little bit.
So, and you market your stuff right and you don't do a $250 million budget and expect it to make it with, make your money back.
Oh,
but that's a story for another day. But here's the thing. I'm a huge supporter of Zack Snyder. I even bought a Zack Snyder Justice League hoodie because of the fact that I didn't like how the studios did him dirty like that.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge advocate for directors and rooting for them as creators and someone that's trying to build the world up from nothing and give us something different.
Yeah.
So I like Zack Snyder's visuals. He's a great visual storyteller. When it comes down to script writing, I'm not so much key on, but I can't fault him wrong for visualization, characterization of certain characters and giving us one of the best dang, Justice League movies that we got.
Yeah.
And it was like an episodic type of thing.
If Chris Nolan backs him, which he did when he started, you know, with Man of Steel, he was a producer on it. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
They just need to do what Netflix did and let him do what he does best. But I mean, the same could be said for all of these directors that are working. And I feel like these movies have a chance for success if you let the directors do their thing. The proof is in the pudding. Guardians of the Galaxy, we've mentioned a bunch of times in this video. He did his vision and it paid off. Let the directors do what they do best. Don't interfere too much other than, you know, if you see like an actual dumpster fire going on, but they should know what they know what they're doing. Exactly. And they need to have somebody that's supportive. I think that Kevin Feige has done that for 10 years. Where he's kind of been the guiding light of, okay, we're going here with the whole story, but you can do your own thing. I feel like James Gunn should do that too. And I feel like we're in for some good DC.
I think so too. I think we're good. DC's in a good place now. I don't feel like they're reactionary or anything like that. I feel like they know what they want to do. They have a universe they want to build up. I'm excited for it. But yeah, that's everything that I had wanted to cover for this. Guys, I just want to say thank you so much for the 10 years that you guys showed me on my channel and stuff, building this thing up. And my channel turned 10 years old, this month. So thank you so much for being a part of this. And Roberto, you were with me for a little bit as well when I was building this thing up though too. So it's kind of like a present in a sense of, you know, you building your channel and everything now. And so, yeah, I think it's a little bit of sweetness right there. Yeah. Also too, guys, thank you for the 1 million views. We just made 1 million views, this year. So thank you for that too. So a lot of thank yous, a lot of appreciation here at Movie Loves Unite. Rossi, my co-host, thanks you as well. We will be doing a Dexter, original sin review on Wednesday night for that. She'll be with me. Go ahead, follow Roberto. His links will be in the description below. Tell him about your room.
Okay. So like I said at the beginning, this is, I wanted to be a place where we can hang out. We can talk about movies, talk about pop culture, music, and also Bible. I wanted to, you know, do a little bit of all those different things. And, I would love to have you guys along for the ride as well. It's at Roberto's room. And like I said, we're just getting started. I am working on a video right now, right before we got on, for the new Spider-Man show, which I'm hoping will be up by tomorrow, just a review of the first two episodes. So please check that out. Check out my content. I've only done a few videos on there so far, but we're growing the channel. I think we're at 33 subscribers right now.
That's pretty good you. Hey, that's awesome though to just build that out. And yeah, you have 33 subscribers. That's really hard to do,
but I'm excited and, you know, just trying to see where everything goes. There's no lack of content to comment on. And, I'm thankful for, you know, the different friends that, have shown support as well. I'm going to be on a podcast next week, with another one of my friends, from college actually, and he has a podcast. And I'm thankful to you for, letting me come on board. I hope we can do this more often.
Oh yeah, man. Definitely. My door's always open for discussion and stuff. If you think of some ideas or whatever, just shoot them my way. I'll do a room and everything will be good to go. But that's Roberto's room. Go on ahead. Check out his room. It's awesome. I checked out a couple of videos that he's done. He's really good and talented at his video editing and stuff. And I know that I'm a little behind on my edits for my shorts. It's only because of the fact I don't have CapCut on my phone anymore. So now I'm having to edit everything on the PC, which is totally different than being able to do this, because I was used to be doing like 20 to 30 minutes and spinning out shorts like nonstop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was actually a short machine in a sense, but yeah, now it's taking me at least 30 minutes to an hour to do one short to make sure it's right.
I was going to say a joke about that's my nickname, because I'm actually short, but you know.
I'm short as well. But anyways, guys, do me a favor though, guys. We are sponsored, like I said, once again, by Fanatics. Get yourself a hoodie if you guys want to. They're a great sports store. As a matter of fact, I bought myself a Boston Celtics, hoodie over there. Click the link, get some percentage off of it and everything. And yeah, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Do me a favor, smash that like button, smash that subscribe button. Go visit Roberto at his room, because he's lonely right now in front of his action figures and his books. So go ahead, visit him right now. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And thank you again, my friend, for joining me.
Thank you, guys.
See you guys. Bye.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big.